The sermon title today is Why, Lord, Why?
And this is going to be part one because I just couldn't get everything through. I wanted to share on this, but in talking about why, that many times we will ask the question, why, Lord, why am I going through this? Why am I experiencing that? So it becomes an elephant in the room many times. It's a $64 question, and with all the inflation that we have today, it's probably the $1 million question. And the question is why? Have you ever asked it? Why, God, did you allow this to happen? Why is this happening to me? Why? And immediately, or not soon after, comes a statement, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? I know it's past mistakes that I have made, and I've brought this all on myself because I have made errors earlier in my life. Now I have to pay for those problems. Satan uses this as a tool to separate you from God, to isolate you from the Lord. And if he can get you isolated from the Lord, he can even beat you up that much more spiritually. My Bible tells me that Jesus took my place on the cross so I wouldn't have to. Because of God's amazing love and amazing grace, I do not get what I deserve. I get what I don't deserve, fellowship with my Creator, adopted in the family of God, with my name and your name listed on the will, that we are co-heirs with Christ today. Amen?
Amen?
If we look at the life of Paul, the Apostle Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, he held the cloaks of those when they were stoning Stephen. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 today, Philippians chapter 3, we'll start out there today. In Philippians chapter 3, and you're going to go to verse 3. So Philippians 3 and verse 3, and verse 3, it says this. So Philippians 3, verse 3, it says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things are gained to me, these I have counted as a loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have been suffered the loss of all things, and count them all as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is the form the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have the same mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." This passage of Scripture is amazing. When you look at verse 9 again, what does he say in verse 9? He says this, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." When you say, "Oh, I have done this or I have done that, and that's why I'm experiencing bad things in my own life, that I deserve this," you're trying to establish your own righteousness. "Well, I wouldn't get this if I hadn't done these things. If I hadn't done these things in my past, I would not be experiencing it today. But what you're trying to do is establish your own righteousness of what you deserve and what you don't deserve. Not by what you're trying to establish your own righteousness, not by what God thinks, but by what you think. Now, I know today, and you know today, we can't talk to the Apostle Paul. But if you were able to ask him, Paul, how did you feel about putting Christians in chains before your conversion? He would tell you, I do not deserve salvation. I am the least of the apostles. But praise be to God, my salvation is not based on my righteousness. It's not based on your righteousness, but on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting, hallelujah, forgetting those things behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Who deserves among us, who deserves the right to be saved? I don't deserve the right to be saved. I do not deserve the right to preach the gospel, but praise God for his amazing grace. If your past is holding you back, then you need to let go of it. If you're a child of God, there is no past in your life. There's only a future that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What does he say about our sins? He throws them as far as the east is from the west. He throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. They are remembered no more. The challenge that we face in our humanistic thinking is that we don't forget. If somebody has done something against us, oh, we might forgive them, or we might act as if it never happened, but it's still there. It's still in the memory bank. Well, you know what? You're not God. And God, with his infinite power, his unlimited ability that he has, when he says, I forgive, I forget, it's gone forever out of our lives. Amen. So who's bringing it up? You're bringing it up, or you're allowing Satan to bring it up into your life. If you're a child of God, there is no past, there's only a future. If you're hanging on to them, then it's you that's doing it, or it's Satan that is reminding you of it. In verse 13 again, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So I can share with you today, with all assurances, that past sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. They hold no bearing on your answer to the question, why today? So we can eliminate that. Isn't it amazing that we can look at the life of Jesus, the suffering servant, the one who suffered the most excruciating death that you could possibly ever experience, so we would have life today, and we would say, well, there was a plan and a purpose for Jesus' life and for his death, and that's why he went through that. And not even stop and think for a moment that God has a plan and a purpose for your life as well, for what you are going through. We'll get to that scripture, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good, amen? I mean, there are certain scriptures we stand on. There are certain scriptures that we say, this is the foundation of my belief. I'm not moving. I'm not changing from this scripture. But then when it comes to something like this, well, I don't know. You know, I've done so many terrible things. You know, there's a lot of people that don't go to church because they did a lot of terrible things. Well, shame on them, and shame on the adversary for attacking them in that way. No one is excluded from the family of God. You aren't excluded, and I am excluded. There's things in my life I would just assume you didn't know anything about.
My mother used to say, the wisest saying, she said, Leo, everybody has a skeleton in their closet, and they would just assume you didn't parade it out in front of everybody else. But Paul wasn't afraid of those skeletons, was he? He paraded them before all of it because he showed the mighty grace of God and what he did in the Apostle Paul's life by bringing salvation and healing and restoration to his life. And you know what? He wants to do the same thing in your life as well. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, we go to verse 29. Matthew 10 and verse 29. It says, are two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. Our God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere present. Nothing is done that he does not know about. And he knows right where you're at, and he knows exactly what you're going through, and what you're going through and where you are at right now. He has a purpose and he has a plan for each and every one of your lives. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at some of the things that the Apostle Paul went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we go down to verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. In verse 22, it says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes more above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I have beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I had been in the sea. In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in cold and nakedness. Do you know what? When you read this, and all of a sudden we take the thing that we're going through and we start comparing to this, and all of a sudden it starts to look a little bit minor of what the Apostle Paul went through, but he still gave God the glory and gave God the praise. And why was Paul able to do that? I'm going to tell you some reasons. This is what kept Paul going. Number one, he knew God knew right where he was at. Remember the sparrow? The very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows right where you're at. He knows right exactly what you're going through. So that was number one. Number two, that nothing would be done without God's knowledge. God is all seeing. He's everywhere present. Number three, that God had a plan and a purpose for his life. Paul knew that. And number four, that plan and that purpose would be carried out in his life. You know what? God's plan and his purpose in your life, if you'll submit your life to the Lord Jesus, will be carried out in each and every one of your lives. We can say these things in our own life. God knows what I am going through. God knows what I am going through. He has a plan and purpose in my life. His plan and his purpose will be carried out in my life. And I know that for a fact. Now turn with me to Romans 8:28. We talked about it earlier. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We either believe this or we don't believe this. In Romans 8, verse 28. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. You are the called of God. The Apostle Paul was the called of God. You are the called of God. You were predestined before the foundations of the earth. God knew that you were going to be on this earth at this time. He can see the problems you're going through. He can see the challenges that you have in your life. And he knows every one of them. And he's there every step of the way with you. And you know what? He's going to use it for your betterment in your life in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's amazing. Jeremiah 29:11. I won't go there, but he has a plan. He has a purpose. Have you ever thought that you were going through difficult times, not for what you have done wrong, but maybe for what you have done right? Sometimes we don't ever think in those terms. Have you ever thought that you were doing something and it was so difficult and you thought at the time, boy, God must really be in this or I wouldn't be having the trouble that I'm having today? Because the adversary doesn't like it. We see that in Job's life. We will do this quickly. I know we're running out of time, but turn with me to Job 1:1, and we're going to carry this sermon on to next week. Because I really think it's good for you. In Job chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this. Job chapter 1, verse 1. He says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Now go to verse 6. Verse 6, same chapter. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them, and the Lord said to Satan, from whence do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Do you think that your name has ever been brought up in heaven? I hope my name's been brought up, don't you? I hope God's talked about Pastor Leo. And I hope he's threw Pastor Leo right in Satan's face. And some of the adversity that I've faced in my life, I think that I have been talked about at one time or another. Here's Job. Have you considered my servant? In verse 8, he says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that is on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay hand on the person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. God did not say that Job was sinless. But what he's really saying is Job was a man that had his priorities in the right place. So Job was tested. Job's friends that came to him basically said the same message. You did something wrong or you would not be experiencing this. You know, and sometimes we can get this construed in our own life. If I'm being blessed and things are bringing into my hands and things are going well, I think that I'm truly blessed of God. But when things are not going so well, sometimes we think, oh, I must have did something wrong because now I'm not being blessed. You know what? Sometimes you go through things because you go through things. But it's all under God's plan and all God's purpose of what his plan is for your life. They never thought it was because... Job's friends never thought it was because he was doing something right, but he must have done something wrong. Saints, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Satan hates you. I want you to know that. I believe you do. And he wants to destroy your faith.
In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, what does it say? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lead us away. Don't lead us to. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Many times when we go through difficulties in life, we'll start leaning to our own understanding, or we'll lean to somebody else's understanding. So have I answered the million-dollar question? Why? And the answer is, you'll be amazed. The answer is, I don't know why. What's amazing about that is when you're going through something, you don't always have to know why. But will you stay in faith? But I know this to be true. God is not nearly as concerned about your circumstances as He is your response. And what is the response of the difficulties that you're going through in life? Are you one to say, oh Lord, what did I do in my past? What did I do wrong? Why is this coming? Why are you punishing me, Lord? Are you one that says, I know that these are challenging times. I know that God will work it out for His good. I know that God has got this because He's got me in the palm of His hand. Amen. Because that's where we need to be. You always heard me say that something, if you can't praise God where you're at, then how can God lead you any further? And you've heard me also say sometimes you've got to double down and triple down on your praise, especially when the things are becoming more difficult. Amen. I know the challenging thing that Carol and I have been facing this summer, and it's getting our granddaughter, great-granddaughter over here, and the challenges around that. And I kept saying, God has got this. God has got this. God has got this. He's turning this around. He's going to be positive for His glory, for His honor, for His praise. And today, I give Him praise for what He has done. Amen. We do choose to let go and to let God in every adversity that we face. That God is working it out. For the benefit of us. You know, sometimes we've done some teaching on that in the United States by some pastors, by some teachers. Good always comes from God. Bad always comes from the adversary. We know that's true. Job's problem was not from God. God did not do this. But God can use this. God doesn't cause heart attacks. He doesn't cause strokes. You remember when we were back in the Garden of Eden, we were never supposed to die, and we were never supposed to leave there. Jesus is trying to get us back there. Amen?
Amen.
So we know that the one that does these things is the adversary in the world of sin in which we live in today, but God can use it for our benefit, and He can use it for our good to transform us into the image of Jesus. Have you ever thought in your life that we're going to talk about it next week? Have you ever thought in your life that sometimes you've gone through the things that you have gone through in your life because He's having you go through it so you can help somebody else? Of course. Let's pray. I like to pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes we ask the question, why? And Father, the more I grow in You and the more my relationship strengthens in You, I know that I don't need to know. You are the why of my life. And I give You all praise, all honor, and all glory. Now there's a reason, Father, that this sermon was preached today, because there's somebody or people that needed to hear this today. And sometimes we can why ourselves to death and never know the answer. But the challenge is, are we going to submit to God and say, God, not my will, but Yours be done. In everything I do, and everything I'm doing. I pray that, Father, You would bless this congregation and You would bless them with the confidence of forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus no matter where they're at and no matter what they're going through. I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless this congregation as we go our separate ways. Your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives, and we would come back to this place next Sunday with excitement to hear what the Lord is going to share with us. And we ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day and a great week.